Stand up for dissident journalism.
Never gave you the impression that I might be interested in helping Laszlo escape.
Joe Thomas in the morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Dysfunction Junction.
I don't bump kids with behavioral problems. I got Ritalin and Zoloft, they really take the edge off. Really.
Joe Thomas in the morning, 434-964-1075. That's our number. Emails come into joe@wchv.com. So much to get into with you this morning, but we begin with yet another opportunity for you. If you know anything about putting fires out, and I don't mean, you know, metaphorically, as if you were a member of some House Special Select Committee. I'm talking about actual fires, fires in people's kitchens and in their garages. Well, the city of Charlottesville needs a new high-ranking officer as Hezadine Smith is leaving for an undisclosed other fire chief position somewhere else out of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we don't need to be human resources radio here, but there are reasons people leave jobs. They obviously, like with Chief Warner or Chief Longo, they retire. Chief Longo, the retirement didn't stick. Chief Warner is spending most of his time with an enormously expansive drone technology, something that he helped pioneer while he was Charlottesville fire chief and has since continued on. Internationally renowned technology expansions. But, you know, you retire. You go on to do something else. But if you're leaving just to be a police chief or a fire chief somewhere else, or if you're leaving just to become the city manager somewhere else, they call that in human resources a lateral move. And I can't say it's 100% of the time, but 9 times out of 10, lateral moves are because you don't like where you are. Either they're not providing you with the wherewithal to do the job as successfully as you know. I've made lateral moves. I've actually made backwards moves on occasion when the company I was keeping had become particularly dysfunctional. I took pay cuts to go work elsewhere. I took position reductions to go work elsewhere in, well, not a lot of cases, but there were certainly instances where I just got to get out of here was our entire business model at the Thomas household at Joe Thomas in the Morning Incorporated. So we did. And so when you see the fire chief is gone and the police chief is gone and the city manager is gone and it doesn't take Denver Riggleman's special investigative unit to, huh? Oh, we will go there. But let's face it, Denver is pretty good at getting attention for Denver on his own without you and me helping. But of the dozen or so people that watch 60 Minutes, I've heard from most of them. But well, it doesn't take Denver Riggleman's special investigative abilities to put together a chain of events that leads people to say, you know, I might be happier if I was fire chief somewhere else. Or I might be happier if I was assistant city manager somewhere else. Never mind city manager. Yeah, I tried city manager. I'm going to try being assistant city manager in another city because that might be better. And it, from the whistleblowers that I talk to, the dysfunction comes from the elected officers. The elected officers who are trying to use their political appointees, aka police chiefs, fire chiefs, to achieve their public-facing agendas. Climate change, you know. You're a great fire chief. You put out lots of fires, but how can you help me with climate change? What? You're a great police chief. Yes, you're a terrific police chief. We wonderful job that you do, but how can you help me with social justice? What? And you start to realize that dysfunction junction comes from politicians trying to use their political appointees to, as far as the public is concerned, sate a particular agenda. And that's why they say, you know what, I'm going to go someplace where I can just be fire chief. How about that? Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the Morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Joe. It's Chris. How's it going?
It's going great, Chris. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, you know, I've been in Charlottesville for 60 years, and I remember when there were citizen leaders in Charlottesville that were well-respected, hard-working, well-known in the community, and they were soft-spoken, and they had integrity and honor. And they were God-fearing people on, for the most part. And there's always been this push-pull with the university in Charlottesville ever since the university opened. It's always been the townies against the students and the students against the townies. And,
that's common to a lot of college towns.
That kind of played a small role in Charlottesville life, but you know, now we got people like Lloyd Snook and the Moat Monster, I can't remember, Kristen Zekos, and you know, these people have no integrity, they have no honor, they don't seem to understand what it means to protect the innocence of children. They don't seem to understand that they probably need to keep their mouths quiet a little bit more and stop bringing in their ideas that are against Christianity. And they need to learn how to not accept public office for the sake of power. I don't think that they know this. I don't think they understand this. You don't go into public office in the United States of America for yourself. You do it to be a servant. You do it to help your community remain peaceful, orderly. And if you're not doing it for those reasons, and you're actually causing chaos, we really don't want you here. And the university has become a cesspool of social justice gobbledygook psychobabble. They're not teaching those young citizens how to think. They're teaching them what to think.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's all got to do with socialism, tenets of Marxism, but not the history of Marxism. They're not telling them how many millions and millions of people were killed by Marxist ideology. And it's very sad, and I don't have much respect for many of the leaders that you see in Charlottesville now, probably 99% of them. And the Central Virginia and the people in the outlying areas have no respect for them either, and they won't say it out in the open. But in quiet conversation, people try to avoid Charlottesville.
Oh, I know. I talk to them all the time. They're like, Joe, I get it. But I'm not. We had Seth and her husband came from Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit Charlottesville because I said there are so many things worth saving here. And yet the city elected officials continue to mismanage, misrepresent, and miscast their own position. I appreciate it, Chris. Good stuff, my friend. Okay, but it's like our friend Jerry Brown says.
Inside the policy, you need a law. You need a rule. You need the coercive power of government to say, do this.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the Morning on anything.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Really?
Oh, while we're young.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, thank you for letting us be of service to you. 434-964-1075.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
So Chris's point is perfectly placed on this issue here at Dysfunction Junction, where we now also need a fire chief along. Can we get a discount? I'm wondering, can we get one of these headhunting firms that the city pays hundreds of thousands of dollars to go find these executive offices? We've got the one looking for a police chief. We don't have one for the city manager yet, but we have the temp guy from one of these headhunting firms that's going to administer the punishments, I guess. So can we get a group discount if we ask for them, say, all right, hey, so you're looking for a police. Can we get a discount if you also find a fire chief for us too? Because, of course, the implication is nobody within the city of Charlottesville is sufficient to be the fire chief. Because the activist class, the 5%ers that get 95% of the media coverage, the protest marchers, will sit there and say so-and-so can't be the fire chief because they're racist. As if it's possible to be a racist fire chief. You know, I don't know. Do you, pardon me, answer the calls differently? I guess that would be the... That would be the implication, is that you send the fire trucks to communities... depending on the racial makeup of those communities, I guess. You have to be a woke fire chief. You have to practice equity in your fire chief firefighting. You have to help us with our climate change agenda. The UN is funding us. They're giving us $5 for our salary. And for that, we've got Agenda 21 and ICLEI, and we've got to do all these things. So you need to be a fire chief for climate change. So if you see a fire, you're going to put it out faster because smoke. And maybe if there's a person that needs rescuing, think of it, we've got a lot too many people here. Jane Goodall said we have too many people here. So maybe slow walk some of these rescues. I'm being facetious, but this is why people who want to be a firefighter are leaving the city. This is why people who want to be law enforcement officers are leaving the city and the county. I think Albemarle County is infected with the same sepsis, political sepsis. That instead of doing the simplicity, this is all about the brave new world that they want to bring on to us. They all were hypnotized by the Svengali from Illinois or South Pacific or wherever he's originally from, President Obama, whose wife told us we need to systematically change the country. We need to change all this stuff and bring on something where we can have. I just read a column. Daniel Hannan. Daniel Hannan, the case for a royal, a Republican monarchy. In the Washington Examiner from last week. I like Daniel Hannan. I haven't, but the concept of a royal monarchy or a republic monarchy, but that's what we've created. I thought about it. Certainly the cult of the presidency. And it goes all the way back to Kennedy. Eisenhower was a celebrity president. He didn't want to be, but he was. And then Kennedy became a celebrity president. I don't think Nixon necessarily wanted to be a celebrity president. He became one whether he wanted to or not. And by that point, even Gerry Ford became a celebrity president, even though the media was like, oh, really? I mean, come on, Chevy Chase's entire comedic career was based on pratfalls pretending to be President Ford. and Jimmy Carter was, you know, the anti-celebrity president. Then you get Reagan and Clinton and Obama and W and, you know, Trump and Biden. Biden's like the anti-celebrity. He's like, get off my lawn. What's with these cameras? It's like the guy that Morley Safer would be chasing, you know, across the lawn. Mr. Senator, are you still taking money from the Chinese government? Get off my lawn. I get you. I got it. But the celebrity presidency, all this idea of changing the system of the country. And we're all for it when we like the president. But that's what the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County have fallen prey to. Oh, isn't he wonderful? He had me. I have a photo with me and the president. Damn. We sell ourselves out to this. And it's so simple. Life in America is so simple. And actually, Matt Kibbe has a wonderful book from years ago, in a mid-2010s. Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. Boom! Mic drop. That's America. Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. And then the administration of these offices, like police chief and fire chief, becomes so much simpler. If somebody hurts somebody or takes their stuff, you arrest them. And we have a law that says here's what you get punished for if you're found guilty. It's really not difficult, but then you start to wheedle in all the social justice warriors and all of the things that, you know, take away from that simple execution of office. And that's why we continue to see, you know, this flight from these city offices.
Stand up for dissident journalism.
Hunter Laszlo is on that plane.
Why do you stand here? Why don't you stop?
Joe Thomas in the morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
434-964-1075. Good morning. Who's this?
Johnny Reb.
Hey, Johnny Reb. How are you, sir?
I've reappeared after over a year. I just want to say your narrative about the woke politics of Charlottesville is entirely correct.
Well, thank you.
And I can say, referring to having come here, migrated here, fleeing San Francisco in 99,
oh boy.
San Francisco being the ultimate example of urban woke politics. And I've continued to track them. Listen to this. There's been finally, even there, enormous backlash represented primarily in the school system. But what's really been verified is that there's been an enormous loss of revenue in San Francisco, because they were determined to be the destination, the humanitarian destination for the homeless. But mm-hmm. as a consequence, in this century, they have lost enormous revenue because they're no longer, because of the homeless population, they're no longer the destination conference center, which they used to be.
True. Yeah.
There's no longer retail revenue in downtown because of the homeless population. People are now literally, there's a mega trend of people leaving the hatchback of their SUVs open so that people don't smash it, okay? But here's the real take on this. There is now a dedicated municipal force of 6 employees at $172K per year, benefits and everything else, exclusively dedicated to gathering feces off the sidewalk, meaning there's now $1 million price tag of employees to get feces off the sidewalk, in addition to the enormous loss of revenue, because they're no longer the conference destination of the city, of the country.
Because of the feces. I remember when they issued their first feces map, there was I don't know who made it, but the story hit the wires, I guess, shortly before COVID, that San Francisco had become so overrun with this that there were maps that would detail on your smartphone where particular hotspots were to avoid.
Right.
And
exactly. Literal hotspots of human warmth.
It's just.
But
know,
the harassment and the crime lent people to stop going there for conference.
Sure, absolutely.
And it used to be the conference capital of the city. What did that do to the, you know, hospitality dollar there in the last 20 years. It's devastated it.
Well, and also, I mean, it still, you know, points to this mischaracterization of what caring is. So the politicians want to be seen on television as caring, so they say they're going to be a sanctuary, they're not going to harass. We see it in Charlottesville now. I mean, downtown Charlottesville, I have people sending me pictures of human waste on the corner by the Wells Fargo,
whatever.
The Wells Fargo downtown, you know, piles of it there, and you know, downtown by the
really,
you know, yes, in this town too, we're having the same problem on the downtown mall. It's obviously much smaller than
that. I remember there was a big hoopla because a cop took a guy down in a headlock, and he was a man of color. But what they didn't say was they had captured on video he was defecating in the public fountain in front of children shortly before the cop took him down in a headlock.
Right.
And Charlottesville, I can say this, having come here from San Francisco, has de-evolved into a mini San Francisco. And you're so right about the police chief and the fire chief, because the qualification, the first and foremost qualification, obviously, is your gender and race, not your skill set and relevant experience.
Yeah, and it's, and to all of our peril who have property that needs to be, oh, I don't know, protected by a police officer. Like you said, these folks leaving their hatchbacks open so that the windows don't get smashed. The implication is that whoever smashed it isn't going to be punished for it. But if you hang, if you put a noose around a statue of some Greek philosopher, then we'll have a manhunt for you with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of reward. It's a crazy
SWAT team, exactly.
Yeah, Johnny.
So anyway, long story short, I have watched, as a San Francisco migrant, I have watched Charlottesville de-evolve into a mini San Francisco.
Well, and I think it's intentional. Well, I like the use of the term migrant too, Johnny. I appreciate it. You have a good morning, sir.
Bye bye.
No price hikes, no portion reductions. What else in your life can promise that?
I need a price check on 2 grapes.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Mason's hanging on the line at 434-964-1075. Good morning, Mason. Happy Monday.
Thank you, sir. Happy Monday back at you.
And what's going on? How was your weekend?
Good, thank you, sir. I'm going to get to San Francisco in a minute. Your caller, very knowledgeable fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But first, the fire chief.
Yes, sir.
Now, the city fire chief, if I recall correctly, was only hired a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2020.
Or promoted. 2020?
Yeah, hired from the outside. He came from actually one of the island countries. He was actually, he wasn't even a fire chief in the United States. They hired him from one of the Bahamian countries, I believe. But I don't have the details right in front of me, but I do know that they brought him in from the outside.
I did not know that. But anyhow, you know how they put, they know how, you know what he learned about putting fires out?
What's that?
Pray for a tsunami. Anyhow, I believe that if they leave, that the people of the city are his boss, and that they deserve an explanation on why he's leaving.
That'd be fair.
Not just he slips off into darkness.
Usually these people have, this has been the case since 2017, at least. Most of these folks have non-disclosure agreements. Even Chief Brackney had one, but she violated it intentionally when she started talking to the press and started suing the city. But most of them make you sign very long, very involved non-disclosure agreements that usually come with six-figure dollar amounts to buy your silence in these matters.
Well, sometimes daylight is the best disinfectant.
I think all the time. That's an axiom right there. Yeah, it would be nice to know. It would be nice to know if since he apparently has another job as a fire chief somewhere outside of the state, maybe he doesn't need the golden parachute, as it were.
Oh, I got a feeling. I know where he's going. The fire truck that the city is going to give to their sister city in Africa, he's going to follow that.
Well, if being a fire chief in Ghana, in Winneba, Ghana, is preferable to being the fire chief in Charlottesville, it may be worse than we even thought. But anyway, you had some thoughts on San Francisco as well?
San Francisco. there's an area called the Tenderloin District,
mm-hmm.
and it's about 18 blocks up from Union Station, Union Square, and the St. Francis Hotel. That's where Reagan got shot coming out, and it is just the armpit of America. I haven't been there in 4 or 5 years, but you walk down the street, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tents and boxes
mm-hmm.
leaned up against the wall on a rather wide sidewalk, and it is just terrible.
Well, you see it in Charlottesville. I went into the Pantomp Shopping Center, the one with the Food Lion in it and the ABC store. Somebody has camped out.
Yep.
There used to be a Burger King back in there, and it's gone out of business. But there are people who have set up home in their old playground area. There's a mattress, and they hang their laundry over the wrought iron fence, and nobody says boo to them.
Yeah. So sometimes I'm thinking the opposite side, going against the grain.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we need several thousand of them to come into town.
Just Cloward and Piven the whole system and break it? I mean, we're almost there.
Just break it. Just break it.
But this is what's happening. Is this really compassion? I asked this question after Johnny's phone call. I mean, is just saying, come here and we won't harass you while you sleep on the streets, is that compassionate? True compassion.
Well, I have in my little area where I live, it's upscale townhouse area, upscale for around here,
mm-hmm.
and
infinitesimal?
Let's go on.
Okay. All right, no problem.
A lot of leftists. Now, what kind of leftists are they? They're the 40, 50, and 60-year-old leftists, Caucasian women usually, that are the backbone of pushing and staying a little bit out of the limelight. But none of them have a sink. These townhouses, I think I said to you before, are like 2,800 square feet, 3,400 square feet, and they do not have a single leftist illegal living in there with them.
And they certainly would have the room, is what you're saying, is there's enough space in there to sublet the basement a little bit. You know, that's what I said. I said, if you really want somebody to make a living wage, hire them. Don't sit there and insist the city tax other people more to send them money. Yeah, hire them. Give them a job. Say, you know what, do my taxes for me. Take care of my house for me. Here's 40 grand a year and take care of my house. And I'm told that's a racist thought. Mason, I mean, that's the crazy gaslit place we are, that suggesting that somebody getting a job is somehow a racist slave dog whistle is crazy, but that's what they tell you.
Well, the leftists in my neighborhood and a lot of other neighborhoods, they wouldn't want them to do their taxes, because then they'd see how much they really have.
That's true. That's right. Well, you have a good morning, sir.
Bye.
Central Virginia's source for disinformation.
I would say we do take extra precautions.
And dead information.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
WCHV.
Dysfunction Junction.
I don't bump kids with behavioral problems.
Dysfunction Junction.
I got Ritalin and Zoloft. They really take the edge off.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and certainly not like me to make light of a dangerous situation, but as yet another high-ranking Charlottesville official has said, you know what? Being a fire chief in another town sounds much better to me than being fire chief here in Charlottesville. I have a humble suggestion for our next fire chief, and I'm sure there's going to be a high-priced consulting firm that will be brought in to do the search. But if I could have my say, since, you know, public comment is always welcome, and I'm sure the new fire chief will, have to be somebody who undergoes, the public comment session, will want to know, maybe seat a civilian fireman's board or something like that. But my humble suggestion, Fire Marshal Bill.
Please do.
Son, does your father always smoke a pipe?
Yes, sir.
pipes, cigarettes, number one cause of domestic fires. Let me show you something.
Certainly.
Now, say one night you're drifting off to sleep on the couch and the pipe falls out of your hand like that. Now you start dreaming that you're having a little barbecue, you pull out a can of lighter fluid. Boom! Get off the laser! Like that?
Hey, fine, Marshall Bill, your finger's on fire!
That's nothing! I caught fire so many times I can't even feel it anymore.
So there's our humble suggestion from the Joe Thomas in the Morning radio program director at, for the next fire chief of Charlottesville. Yes, yes, of course I'm kidding. You know, Fire Marshal Bill is Caucasian, so he would never, ever actually be hired as fire chief in Charlottesville because you got to check the boxes. You know, and certainly your ability to fight a fire is down on the list of boxes that you need to check. And we kid because we care. We lampoon because it's less criminally liable than harpooning. The city of Charlottesville now needs a police chief and a fire chief and a city manager. Well, and as far as I can tell, all the money we've paid the consultants firms, the headhunters firms to help us find one has actually only netted us somebody from the headhunters firm who's actually acting as temporary city manager. And you say, well, gosh, all these people must have been, no, you see, there's an axiom in the world of sociology. If you have a problem with one person, it's debatable as to whether the problem is with the person or yourself. But if you have a problem with every single person you come in contact with, it's a you problem. And that's where we are with the city of Charlottesville, is the populists, the pandering populists that chase the TV camera every time they turn around and are chasing some sort of popularity, some sort of inferred wokeness, some sort of not the face kind of reaction to the protesters looking to jump up on the furniture at the next city council meeting. That's what you wind up with, because they have inconsistent policy. They have inconsistent directives. They don't give these people the tools necessary, beginning with consistent mission statement as to what their jobs are. Then you couple that, certainly in the police department, with Commonwealth's attorney that is part of the progressive prosecutor movement and, you know, won't prosecute certain people. So if the police arrest them, it must be because they're racists. We have to borrow police officers from Spotsylvania County to fill our shifts on the weekends. We can't answer our 911 calls, fire or otherwise. The police say, send us an email and we'll check through it when we check our emails. And you wonder why fire chiefs and police chiefs don't want to be here. It makes you wonder why firefighters and police officers want to be here. And we're watching flight there. They just don't make headlines. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the Morning. Who's this?
Well, this is Greg. I got a notice somewhere that Putin was recruiting, reserve soldiers, but that it required an equity and inclusion form that they had to fill out before that they joined to destroy Ukraine.
I'm glad to see that those Russian conscripts at least are just doing it out of equity's sake.
Right. Well, here's the bottom line, Joe. You know, we've become so woke, we're going to destroy ourselves within. We will become a third world nation because of equity and inclusion.
Sure.
In my opinion, when you fill out a job application, I don't think race should even be on the application. I think you should just go by the character or content of character and your ability. Their abilities for human beings, regardless of what race they are. But in Charlottesville, they're going to discriminate against any individual that is of European descent, that is Caucasian, because it doesn't fit an agenda that Charlottesville and the university and many other places around here have, and that is you have to have racial equity, gender equity,
but here's,
and all these checks.
Right, but here's the question. How does that impact how you put out a fire? That's the thing that's so crazy making in this, because yes, we kid, but you know, when you have to check these boxes as if somehow you're going to answer a fire call more rapidly if it's in the quote underserved neighborhoods than in the overserved neighborhoods, or maybe they need, you know, a fire chief that's going to help them with their global warming agenda. I don't know, but this fire chief.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just like a circle, because one of the issues of global warming is that equity agendas cause global warming because more houses are burning up faster. But the bottom line is, you know, I've been working around Charlottesville in the city here lately. I won't say where because I don't want to get in trouble. But, you know, I've seen some accidents in this a certain area, and the time that the police get there is pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because they don't have enough
people.
Fortunately, these areas, you know, the instances were not life-threatening. You know, Charlottesville will fail completely. The country will fail completely until we become colorblind.
Well, we
have to just look at each other as individuals and not color.
I agree with you.
I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it. I will never be politically correct as long as I live. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be hateful to people of any race, creed, or color,
or gender,
whatever they want to be.
You're going to say live by your own means, and
exactly.
You know, but we need to get back to that place. And I've got to run to break, Greg. I appreciate it, sir.
Bye, bud.
No supply chain blocking here. Guaranteed delivery of your news at the top of every hour. Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Emails to Joe@WCHV.com, or you can just ring in at 434-964-1075. Matt writes in to the email address, Joe, unfortunately, putting out fires in Charlottesville is stomping on a burning bag of excrement. So he's combining the San Francisco stories, and who hasn't had that prank played on them at some point, or at least there's a two, maybe three YouTube channels dedicated to stomping on burning bags of excrement on people's front porch. But that being said, you know, this is management 101. But these are the same people that think you start a company to create jobs. You listen to them at the Planning Commission meetings and any other place where democratic capitalism is employed. Let's all vote. You'll hear them say, you know, somebody will say, I want to open up a Home Depot at the Fashion Square Mall. And they'll be like, well, how many people are you going to hire? Well, we're doing research on, no, we need to know how many people are you going to hire? Well, we have to figure out what our, you know, the market is going to be and how much money. Oh, no. We just want to know that you're going to guarantee that you're going to hire 100, 200, 400. You pick a number, people. That's all they want. They think you start businesses to create jobs. No, you start businesses to serve customers. See, this is the stuff they don't get. You start a business to serve customers. And if you serve those customers, then you create jobs. Those jobs are to serve those customers. And Business 101 also says that if you're running an organization, whether it be what did our old friend Tim Hulbert, you know, insist on calling them? I thought it was a good term, an enterprise. So you have commercial enterprises, you have public enterprises like a city. You have to give your employees the wherewithal to be successful. That's your one job. If you're a boss, if you run a company, you have one job, and that is to give your employees all the tools necessary to be successful. That's your whole job. You may be the only employee. Your wife may be your only employee, but you better make sure that they have the tools necessary to successfully complete their jobs. This is why every time I post anything to Mike Ferruccio's Facebook page, I hashtag it Mike for City Manager. Because he actually gets both sides of it. He was police officer for years. And then goes off and starts almost by accident one of the most successful growth businesses in Charlottesville. Handy Mike, if you're wondering. But you do it by giving your employees all the tools necessary to be successful. And if you don't do that, you start having people like fire chiefs and police chiefs quitting. And why don't they give them the things that they need to be successful? Because the bosses in the city, the city council, are too busy trying to sate the activists rather than saying, gee, what does the fire chief need? No, they go to the fire chief and say, we have this climate change agenda that we need your assistance in fighting. What does climate change have to do with? Or you know, this social program, we have it here that your fire department got to some of the underserved communities more frequently in longer periods of time. Your response times were off. Or I'd leave too. And I've told you this at the onset. Lateral moves. So if you're the fire chief in the city of Charlottesville and you leave to be a fire chief somewhere else, generally it's the same job. So why are you leaving one to go to the other? Because you like packing a moving van? No, it's because the job you currently have is no longer doable, so you need to go find another one.
Stay up to date on all the latest news from the battle of Ukraine versus Russia at the top and bottom of every hour on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
I'd like to announce my candidacy. I'd appreciate it if you vote for me.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Thank you for letting us be of service to you as you go into your day. I hope you have gotten in touch with somebody about volunteering for your political party of favor to be a poll watcher for them because voting began on Friday. We don't have any exit polls yet. No, I don't know who's leading in the 7th district. But we do see some enthusiasm for the early in-person voting. I will, if you're in voting in Fluvanna County, will be poll watching on Tuesday afternoons at the registrar's office. So if you're wondering where I am on Tuesday afternoons, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to sacrifice at least as much. There's debate right now as to whether I have to sacrifice all of Election Day or if I can be on the radio in the morning and then work on a coordinated tip line thing so I can poll watch as well on Election Day. But remember, elections that last for more than 45 days should be treated by a physician, especially the ones that give you a checkup from the neck up. Joel was hanging on the line at 434-964-1075, so let's go to him. Good morning, Joel. Yeah, we haven't even talked about the government shutdown. We've so much still to do. What's on your mind this morning, sir?
Good morning, Joe. You gave me a good idea for the bumper sticker for the Democratic Party, the defecation party.
The defecant party. It's just like, because they have that, supposedly I'm told that the smiling poo emoji is not actually smiling poo, that there is some Japanese character, I think it's ice cream, but it's the smiling turd that everyone sends this emoji out. If you text at all with people, somebody has sent you this, generally during a city council meeting. But I like it, the defecant party.
And then when they're having their session, they can pass around suppositories so they can self-inflict the prescription.
All right, now you've just put a visual in my head that it's going to take me hours to get rid of that. I'm going to have to go download more Fire Marshal Bill videos and watch Jim Carrey bounce around and say, hello, guy. You see, this is what I said earlier too, and for somebody who has a medical background and works in medicine,
yeah.
You know, this faux compassion is to me almost the opposite of compassion. It is as incompassionate as possible. You're like, yeah, come to Charlottesville. We won't throw you in jail for being homeless. We're not going to help you find a home or a job either. I've said this before. I think it would be a better it would be a better thing, instead of giving people checks every month for not working, give them a one-time U-Haul rental and job listings around the country. Because there are places in Virginia that are hiring, maybe not in Charlottesville. Yeah. So let's help them relocate to the places where they are.
Well, we've had a party that evaluated the simplest of jobs, and some of those simplest of jobs are some of the most important.
Well, but we're telling them it's slavery. People. You know, we're being told hiring people is slavery, but if you start a business, your only agenda should be to create jobs. It can't be both ways. Either hiring somebody is akin to slavery, or starting a business is only to create jobs. It can't be both.
Well, I like what Matt said a while back, probably a month or two ago, where he was saying people just get into politics because they think it's an easy job. And then once they get there and they can fool the people, that then they have choice of what they can take and not what they can give. And that happens a lot with the Democrats. There are some people in the Republican Party that are kind of self-serving, but I have to say that
you watched 60 Minutes last night.
No, I didn't. But I have to say that if you're a conservative and you're a Republican and you're trying to actually balance out things and use your ability to maintain a constitutional republic, then I think you're balanced and trying to really maintain the voice of the people. Not people expecting you to be the voice, but to be the voice of the people.
Well, but again, what are we asking these people to do for us? It goes back to the old Abbott and Costello routine. You know, you're a public servant, aren't you? Go get me a glass of water. I mean, are we really devolved to this point? And I pointed this out about the Charlottesville fire chief, you know, running screaming from the burning pile of excrement that the city is. You know, another fire that he doesn't want to put out, apparently, but or couldn't. The issue becomes, what are we asking these people to do? It's a very simple job. Put out fires, arrest people who violate people's laws, investigate the violation to find the people who violated somebody's, you know, own rights. You know, these are simple jobs, yet we've made them complex in this gaslighting that is designed to make us think that these city councilors or supervisors or presidents are going to fix our lot in life.
Joe, when I was watching Fox the other day, one of the police officers said, only people care about the police unless they really need them, not if the police is really trying to do their job, and they have a tough job.
Sure.
They have to, and so he said that why don't police get respected as much as firefighters? Because firefighters are risking their lives to go into fires and all kinds of situations with things that are, you know, chemical explosions, contamination, rescuing people from odd places. You know, lakes, frozen lakes, all kinds of stuff. Yet the police do the same thing, and they're not viewed the same thing in the same way, because they're not considered heroic. They have to take situations on that a lot of other people can't even imagine what they go through.
Locally sourced, handpicked, and craft-roasted news every morning with Joe Thomas in the morning and all day on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Look around you, all you see are patriotic guys. Stroll around the land, the brave and free gone. And here's to you, Mr. Jefferson. We all miss you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mr. Madison. Hey.
heaven help these fools that legislate rights away. All
right, so wait. Joe Thomas in the morning. Reminder, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the next attempts will be made to have the Jefferson-Madison Regional Library remove the names of Jefferson and Madison under the banner of racism, that they're white supremacist, racist slave owners, and that's the sum total of it. So then they can take down the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They're 3 o'clock today. There'll be public comment around 3:05. There's Zoom, so you don't have to be there. There's a toll-free number. There is a link on our Facebook and Twitter feeds for WCHV Radio that'll take you to the website. They actually have an entire page on their website dedicated to this whole brouhaha, which really is a tempest in a teapot, because there are two of the member counties have already voted no on it, but they are going to keep having these working groups because they're just trying to say, well, how to best put it? Well, it is the municipal version of saying, not the face, not the face. Joe writes in, Joe, why can't the environmentalists find a way to recycle the human waste from the streets of San Francisco to make fertilizer? Well, because then there might be more fertilizer out there and they wouldn't be able to charge billions of dollars for it. But Smithsonian Magazine posted a story 5 days ago. California has legalized human composting. By 2027, Golden State residents will have the choice to turn their bodies into nutrient-rich compost. California has joined a growing number of states that allow residents to compost their bodies after death. The new law, signed by Governor Gavin Newsom on Sunday, directs California officials to develop regulations for the practice known as natural organic reduction by 2027. Washington was the first state in the nation to legalize human composting, followed by Colorado and Oregon. And in 2021, Vermont legalized the practice. Are you catching a theme here about these states, Joe? There. So, yes, there's just another step till soil and green is people. Because there's just too damn many of us anyway. Finally, last but not least, I wanted to address one other email that came in there. Hank writes in under the title, The Barney Fife Syndrome. Long before the pandemic set in, the city of Charlottesville had issues with its retention of an effective workforce, primarily because it has a leadership problem. What I meant by that is it has so many warm bodies in positions of authority and leadership that are in possession of absolutely no leadership skills whatsoever. We've all heard the Peter Principle. However, it's been my experience that we are all well beyond the Peter Principle and far into what I call the Barney Fife Syndrome. Remember how Andy would only give Barney one bullet to use and only in what would be the most tired situations for Mayberry? That's how these people are. They've been given a little bit of authority and they cannot wait to get to the adrenal surge. Get the adrenal surge that comes from utilizing it. Case in point, Charlottesville area transit bus driver had an accident in front of the rotunda. The UVA female college student admitted it was her fault, and the Charlottesville Police Department ticketed her accordingly because it was her fault. However, 2 or 3 weeks later, one of the Barney's established a review board, making it the bus driver's fault and putting a black mark on their folder and on their work record, which affected them being able to move into a daytime position. So here you have the University of Virginia student admitting they were at fault, the Charlottesville Police Department recognizing and ticketing accordingly that it was their fault. However, the CAT employees suffered the consequences. Is there any wonder why he tendered his resignation shortly thereafter? And, of course, Hank is writing in our story of yet another high-ranking Charlottesville official has done a lateral move, saying being fire chief in another city is probably preferable to being fire chief here. And I'm not sure what part of the woke agenda Chief Smith had to suffer whether it was their climate change agenda. Chief, we need you to put these fires out faster because there's smoke in the air and, you know, that's just too many. Or maybe a special carbon dioxide detector to detect too much carbon dioxide in somebody's home. Something along those lines, maybe. I don't know. But I do have, as we part ways for this Monday morning, again, a simple solution to the city of Charlottesville's problem, looking for a fire chief. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlottesville's new fire marshal, Bill.
Now, your kitchen area is an all-too-common locale for fires. First time I spontaneously combusted was in a kitchen not unlike this one. It was one of those hot nights. I opened the fridge and poof! Went up like a powder cake. Good thing I knew how to drop and roll.
Your hand's on fire!
So it is. That's a sure sign that your gas flow hasn't been calibrated properly. Now, say you got yourself a bit of a virus. You're looking for a box of tissue, but it's not there, and it's too late. Ah, touch! Next thing you know, your gas light goes out on your new gas range. Suddenly, your house is hit by a giant meteor storm that's totally unexpected. One of those hot little babies comes right through the kitchen window. You just happen to be holding a match.
Hey! You're not gonna like that, are you?
Don't worry, folks. I'm a fire marshal.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.